Now, I did say moments ago, maybe Kevin's right, maybe I do feel curves. Because I did say a couple minutes ago that Kevin brings the music. Except every now and then he does something like that.
Hey, Chris you Cross? Have to get with it, man. You have to be
You brought
diverse.
Chris Cross?
You have to be
Come
with
on,
it.
Man.
You know, I'll try to help you, Bill.
Get
what
some
can I
Will
say?
Smith summertime, man. With Chris Cross with that.
Hey, it's coming.
Two-week hit they had. Look, we're with the coaches from Aliquippa High School. They're about to take over and continue that legacy of championship football. And as I said before the break, it clearly appears to me to be in great hands. But as we wrap up this segment, and I just want to certainly say to all the folks in Aliquippa, to all the people in the conference, to all the people in the Whippio and Western Pennsylvania, here come the Quips. They're coming. Get ready. And you're going to have your hands full again, from what I can tell. There's a lot of history in this room that's going to be put forth on that football field. So congratulations to you guys for getting to this point. And Lord knows the hard work is ahead of you. I know Kevin wanted to offer a couple things, so I want to step out the way for that.
Thanks, yeah, Mike, Bill. If you could just give our listening audience an update on the facilities, because we know we have a first-class football team
mm-hmm.
on the field.
Right.
But from a facility
right.
standpoint, the facilities
right.
really need to be
right.
upgraded. So
Absolutely.
If you could give us.
When I took the position, I mean, the next day I went down to the field house and I was amazed at what I saw. Actually, I was sad at what I saw because
right.
when we came through, it was plush. Coach Nessa had carpet. It was a place where we could be, where we could hang out, where we could work out, joke. It was like a YMCA to us. That
mm-hmm.
was, that's a place
For
where
sure.
we spend a lot of time. But what I saw, it was bad. No hot water. Everybody talking about the winds. Can't take a dump. Lockers, old lockers from the 70s. So what I set out was I put a proposal together relative to the field house. And the field house is broken down into two phases. You have a locker room or weight room in the back, and you have our locker room in the front. So I felt that if I tried to do too much, I wouldn't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, the school board has agreed, so they're going to redo the front part, the locker room where our kids are. That's where we stay.
Great.
We spend 6 months out of the year, 2 hours a day. That's where our kids are. So they start gutting it. It's gutted already. We're going to have new lockers, new seats, new carpet, a new bathroom, new coach's office. We're going to have TVs with cable. We're going to have an area with Wi-Fi where the kids could do their homework. The first day I took the job, I met with the seniors. Our seniors are 38-5.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait to 2 years from now, 3 years from now. It's not doing
right.
anything for our seniors.
Right.
And one thing they said, they wanted to have a place where they could just hang out, spend more time together. So fortunately, like I said, the school board is going to redo it. They're doing it now. They're putting a new roof on it now.
And that speaks to the social commentary that I alluded
right.
to, that there's more to this game than just
Absolutely.
On the field.
Absolutely.
There's other things that have to be addressed. I mean, we've all been to North Hills or Fox Chapel
right.
mm-hmm.
or Plum, and the
right.
facilities or campus,
right.
Division II campus-like.
Right.
So
yeah.
you should have those
right.
things. Those should be
right.
givens.
I cannot tolerate, if I'm not going to have my son in a particular situation, I don't want my kids. Now these are my kids.
Right. Right.
And I'm not going to have my kid in that situation, so I'm not going to have my team in that situation. So this is a place where they could take pride in. Pride in one thing can convert to pride in something else, and pride in themselves. So that's what we're trying to do.
Sounds good. Well, Kev, anything else?
Is there a number someone could call
yes.
that if they would like to donate?
Yes, we started a Facebook page, and the Facebook page is called Quip Nation. And the sole purpose of that was to promote our program and to promote our kids. I told the people who's running it is that at no time are we to debate and argue negativity. It's all on there to promote positive things about our program, what's going on. So if you could go to Quip Nation, there's a P.O. box there where you could donate. We accept the donations because we do need it. There's little things, other things that we need that could help out the program. It's funny when I talk about this because I see all the success on the field
yeah.
and all the negativity off the field. Like, but we still, our kids, not us, not the coaches, our kids do it in spite of. And that's the phrase I always come up with, is that they accomplish so much in spite of. In spite of all the negativity you hear, they still do it, they still come. And that's the beauty of it.
Okay. Thanks. And just to let you know as well, and I told Short already, my company – will make a donation as well.
Appreciate
and I'm saying this because I would like others to donate.
Absolutely.
That others that are listening to this program as well. So if you could provide that information, that Facebook page.
Again, it's Quip Nation. You go to Quip Nation and our P.O. box is on there where you can send donations to Quip Nation. And I want to make this clear is that all donations are going directly to the kids. Our books are always open. If you want to see it, it's all transparent. And everything that comes in is going directly to the kids.
And any plans for the stands? I believe
there's one
section
side of the stand
that is open right now.
And Kevin, you know, it should be better.
Mm-hmm.
It will get better. But at this point, we can only do one thing at a time. So my main focus, like I said, is to make sure that locker room is clean and a place that they could take pride in.
Starting inside out.
Inside out.
Inside
yes,
out.
Sir.
Sounds mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, Saturday night we have Night at the Races also. Right. So I know he got a lot on his mind. He might have forgot about that.
But that's true.
A Night at the Races on Saturday, and it's going to be on at Fire Hall 338 Broadhead, 3338 Broadhead Road.
Again, and that's on Quip Nation's the Facebook
this
page
Saturday?
As well.
This Saturday. Okay, so this May Saturday, 26. May
26th.
26th.
So get a horse.
Doors open at 6.
Okay.
Or 2.
The doors open at 6. The races start at 7. I think at this point the horses is filled, so you still could come and participate. We have raffles, drawings, so there's some things you can do there besides the horses.
Okay. We got some other table events going on the side.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds
I'm
good.
I'm just joking, man. I'm just joking.
and let me offer this. On behalf of Achieving Greatness Incorporated, my company would like to offer this invitation. You know, for 44 consecutive years, we've hosted the Willie Stargell Awards Banquet.
Okay.
And, of course, Willie's intent was to recognize those people to help make this region special.
Right.
So I'm going to want to invite you guys to be a part of
That's
great. And I'd like to set in motion the idea of being able to recognize the Aliquippa coaching staff and see if we can get a boatload of people from Aliquippa to come down and have a great time with us at the upcoming Willie Stargell Banquet.
Yeah, we appreciate
and,
that.
And that's going to be a whole live wonderful production. Yeah. It'll be coming up in August.
Okay.
And that'll be – so hopefully you don't have to plan it so we can get step aside from your football responsibilities.
That. Yeah.
But,
we appreciate that.
You know, that's a big event, and we do it in Willie's memory. The Pirates sponsor it, and it's a lot of good things can come from it in terms of exposing you to this side of town and
mm-hmm.
getting information out and schedules and all that kind of stuff. So all that being said, we're on board. You're welcome to get back here anytime. We look forward to having you guys come back, maybe right before kickoff of the new season, and get a couple, you remember your offensive and defensive captain
that'd
come
be great.
In with you.
That'd
and we might go to Aliquippa as well.
I ain't going to Aliquippa.
Go to Aliquippa.
We'll be up here August 25th at the Wolverina.
I don't care nothing about the Wolverine. You smile when you say that like I care about the Wolverine.
You'll be playing that,
that's close to your neighborhood.
Well, but
we'll be playing a team, McKinley Tech from Washington, D.C.
All right. Look, I'm going to give you the zinger, then we're going to get out of here. Listen, I'm going to be delicate. Things going on in Aliquippa right now. I'm being delicate and I'm being serious. Things going on in Aliquippa right now. Is there any resolve? Is there any comment? Is there any... It's wild. It's crazy. It's and don't imposition yourself. But
well,
man,
Bill, you gotta let it play out. Let's see what happens. You know, let the process take place. Let the people do what they got to do as far as investigate it, and let the process play out. We don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened until it plays out.
You did. You took the high road. Gave me the right answer. See, I wouldn't look. I was. You gave me the law enforcement answer, man. I was looking for some dirt. All right, look, the Quips are here, and they're done. Hey, we appreciate you guys being on the show. We're going to talk some custom cars, Corvettes, car cruising, and all that kind of stuff with you. We got the president of the United Race Corvette Club coming up. Man, what a great first half, talking to the brand-new coaches at Aliquippa High School and ringers, to be sure. Kevin brought them in. He's an Aliquippa native. Snuck them in. I guess we'll have to have a Penn Hills night at some point. If there's an Aliquippa night, there should be a Penn Hills night. Of course, that could be
a long night, man.
If I start bringing in the Hubie Bryants and the Bill Fralings and the
Tom Flynn. You bring in the best first. That's all.
I'm sorry?
We bring in the best first. That's how it works.
There's an implication of
sorts. Everyone else can follow.
There's an implication of sorts in there, is there not? Well, look, we are joined by some very special guests in this segment. And this is a little different for Soul Take, to be sure. And off the beaten path, and speaking of path, the path that this guy goes down is usually at somewhere around 140 miles an hour.
That's right.
But Brother Lewis McCullough.
Uh-huh.
Say it again.
Lewis McCullough.
Is the president of the United Rays Corvette Club here in Pittsburgh. And I didn't know his last name because I never call him by his last name. I just call him Lewis. So now we know. And he joins us. But we got a special guest today. Now, Lewis, I knew that you had a son that played professional football. I didn't know Mr. Polite was your son.
That's my baby boy.
Well, and I understand because my mother does it to me all the time. Mom, please don't say that again.
I'm used to it, man. Soccer
Polite is with us, and he joins us after a tremendous football career and looks no worse for the wear. Looks like you can go play right now, man.
I might give you one series. That's about it, man. I'm not in shape.
That could be the one we need. That might be the one we need. Now, I believe you're good friends with a good friend of ours, Smoking Jim Frazier. You guys have done a couple shows together, and then
yes, sir.
Jim is your biggest fan, man. He speaks highly of you all the time. So let me put your dad on hold a moment.
Oh, boy.
And since we got the special guest, and if we had known you were coming, we would have brought out the hors d'oeuvres. Because normally for special guests, we got cheese, crackers, and dip and stuff. But
it's almost 9 o'clock. It's past my my dinner time. So
you're okay.
That's a good choice. Yeah, good, okay? Good job not bringing.
We do
that.
Have some animal crackers out there in case you need something.
I'm good to go. Appreciate it.
Well, listen, we have been on air now for the better part of 3 months, guys, and we are a world syndicated show that goes all over the world and real strong in the United States. And we are part of Urban Media Today Sports Network, and the show is growing by leaps and bounds. So we're truly glad to have you be a part of this. But just do us a favor and give our national listening audience a little update on what you're doing and how you, in short, how you felt about your career, high school, college, professional, and the mic is yours.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm a Pittsburgh kid. Went to the greatest high school in the land by the name of Woodland Hills. I know you got that Penn Hill shirt on. Now, yeah, don't choke.
You
don't
said
choke,
that once Aliquippa left, right? But I'm still representing here.
Hey, I got love for Aliquippa. I got some good friends from there, but I didn't have the mic at that time, so I let them, you know. That was their
all
segment.
Right,
now,
all right,
you know.
I'll let you go just for now.
Well, better than that, did Aliquippa's team ever beat your team?
No.
There you go.
So,
be because you're quad A. Your school was quad A too, right? Because like my school, so we didn't play the 2A school.
Well, we played up all the time. We played the Mount Lebanons, the Butlers, you name it.
Well, name somebody better than them. Well, you don't start naming.
You can't play everybody.
Well, we took midget teams.
Oh man, we got to start something now.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Get your Malakwimba cats back here, man. Let me call them back.
Exactly.
Oh man.
Go ahead, brother. Finish it.
But yeah, I'm a Pittsburgh kid, Woodland Hills High School, University of Pittsburgh. Very fortunate. We had a great run, won the bowl games every year. I was blessed and fortunate enough to play in the NFL for 9 years, five teams, Cowboys, Bears, Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Falcons.
Yeah, heard that again.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the Steelers had a chance, but they decided to pass up on me. So you
understood.
Know,
you got
it's business. It's business. Exactly. You know, I got love for them, you know, anyway. But,
matter of fact, if the Patriots play me, I might. No, let me back up.
You know, you meant it. Go ahead, you know. But like I said, 9 years. I retired in 2013. After that, I went back to school, got my MBA, started working for the Dolphins in the front office, and just recently, I moved back to Pittsburgh to work at my alma mater as an assistant athletic director over our varsity letter club and mentorship. So I'm excited about using my platform to give back to the young athletes and use my experiences to help them along their path.
And where did you get your MBA at?
I got my MBA down at the University of Miami. So,
okay, great. Yeah.
And you're working with your alma mater, that being Pitt or Woodland Hills?
Pitt.
Okay,
Pitt.
Great, yes, great. Sir. Well, you know, there's great things happening up at Pitt. And certainly you're in the middle of the new AD taking everything by the throat, man. She's not joking. And hiring people and firing people and shaping things up. We had Kevin and I had a great opportunity to meet the new basketball coach when he was brought in, and we've been kind of picking along the way some opportunities. Certainly we've been good friends with Sam Clancy and Kirk Bruce and many of those people along the way, but Pitt is in a better place to be sure now with the hiring of Jeff Capel, and I expect immediate results just by the nature of who he is. But as an alum, what has been the kind of conversation you guys have been having down there with the new basketball coach on board?
I haven't had the ability to talk to him to him depth because he's really busy right now recruiting. Mm-hmm. But everything I see, you know, I'm excited about. I see him signing a lot of 4-star recruits, getting some 5-star interests, and you know, it's all about, you know, getting the right players under the right system and, you know, winning games. And you know, Coach Capel is very capable of that, and he's coming from a winning program in Duke, and he knows what it's going to take. So excited.
Three questions for you. This may be off the something you may not have gotten often. Greatest moment in high school, as you recall. Greatest moment in college, as you recall. Greatest moment as a professional, as you recall.
Man. Okay. The greatest moment in high school would have to be my sophomore year. We beat North Allegheny down at Three River Stadium. We'll be a championship.
Mm-hmm.
That was a special year because that group of seniors, they really, I have to give them the credit. They were the guys that kind of changed the culture at Woodland Hills. That was Madee Williams, quarterback, DeRico Fletcher, Darrell Reeves, those guys. I mean, they really took it by the horns and showed us the way. College, I would have to say it was a cold Saturday night against Virginia Tech at home, and I was able to score the winning touchdown after I had a fumble earlier that game. So I knew I had to find a way to get it back for my team, and I owed him that. And Coach Walt Harris at the time believed in me and gave me the ball on the goal line, and I got in there. So I was as happy about that. And I would say the biggest moment in my professional career, even though we didn't win, was playing in the Super Bowl when I was playing for the Patriots. And that was just one of those things that you kind of freeze for a moment and think about all the work it took to get there. And as a kid, you guys talk, you know, every kid dreams of playing, you know, on a big stage and then getting there. So it was very surreal for me when I was able to get there. Wish I'd have got the big ring, but, you know.
That was the year Randy Moss played, if I'm not mistaken, no?
No, so the receivers that year, we had Ostrosenko.
Okay.
Yeah, that was in Indianapolis, the second time we played the Giants. So the first time was that big catch David Tyree had on his head.
Right.
When they beat us, the second time the Patriots played the Giants, that was in Indianapolis, so Super Bowl 46.
Okay. And you played after my boy Ty Law.
Yes.
With the Patriots.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Do you always have to slip an Aliquippa cat in the conversation?
Every chance I get, I do it. That's right.
That's the beauty of Pittsburgh, though, man. We got pride in our schools and our city and our players, and it's all love, man.
That's definitely
one of the reasons I came back home. I miss home. I miss feeling that. So,
sure. Well, that's how we started off our segment with the Aliquippa guys. We actually started off by saying there's no place like home because, for the most part, those guys have come back home. Just another question for you before we start talking Zoom. Did it ever matter to you that you didn't play for the Steelers? Did it ever matter to you in the faintest or at all? Or was it ever in a desire or attempt of yours to get here?
I think it mattered. I think it mattered on draft day, just because I felt like, you know, as a fullback, you know, guys, you know, they don't get drafted high. And if there's an opportunity to play home, and even if I signed as a free agent, it would have been an awesome feat, but it didn't happen. But then I learned that this is a business,
mm-hmm.
and I got over myself and wiped the tears, and then I went to Dallas. A legendary coach by the name of Bill Parcells believed in me, made me a starter, and showed me how to play this game, and I was just blessed enough to play 9 years, so I'm grateful. Because there's kids that won't get a chance, you know, and you can't make it about you all the time. It's about that shield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any guy that ever gets a chance to play in the league, they'll tell you the same thing. You got to put yourself aside and take the opportunities as they come. They don't always come in a shiny red bow. You know what I mean? So just got to make it happen.
You're that one-tenth of 1% of all the people on the planet, man.
Better chance winning the Powerball than playing in the league.
Right. You know? Well, congratulations to you. It 9 years is a great run, to be sure, and a successful run. And at a position where you're doing work.
Yeah, for sure. Yes,
because these days, the fullback,
they don't exist.
doesn't exist too much in most offenses.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Now, if I could ask a question regarding the NFL as well, this is the time right now for organized team activities that are going on. The Steelers are actually having their organized team activities, OTAs is what is the abbreviation is for. Regarding that, can you give us a sense of really what goes into the OTAs?
OTAs, this is another way, you know, fancy way to kind of work around mini camps. It's extra practices, really. That's really all it is. You know, we're out there for a shorter amount of time just because of the CBA. So we're not allowed to be out there for so much time. But OTA is no different than a practice. And they get out there and they work on the installation. It's a good chance to get the rookies caught up to what the veterans already know. I mean, the rookies do come in. They have a weekend rookie mini camp, but that's not enough. OTAs are good reps for them and for the veterans, you know, get in shape slowly. But it's really for those young guys to kind of catch up, get caught up to speed, because once July hits, once training camp comes, it's full speed ahead.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, speaking of running, another nice segue for me. And please feel comfortable. Stay a while. We got a lot of conversation to have. I got a couple things I'll come back to you on. But I do want to bring to the attention of our listeners. You know, I can tell you this. I have a Corvette that since I've owned it, it's never been above 50 miles an hour.
That's impossible.
No, it is. And Lewis and anybody that knows me will tell you, you know what they do if they go do a parade or something? If the parade's on Saturday, they'll tell me to leave Friday night. And they'll catch up with me Saturday. I'm just not a speed guy. But, man, hey, folks, let me tell you all something. United Race Corvette Club is, and I'm going to let Lewis put all the accolades in place, but clearly one of the few all-black or predominantly black, masterful, well-organized, structured car clubs in America. They just hosted a car cruise this past Sunday, and easily, man, there had to be, I guess it would not be an exaggeration to suggest there was $10 million worth of vehicles. Yes. That would be, if you had to guess, there was like $10 million worth of vehicles, my Corvette notwithstanding, on that property, man. It's just one of the other officers pointed out to me that blue Corvette that won Best in Show. It's like a $10,000 paint job.
$20,000 paint job.
My goodness.
High definition. That car was absolutely beautiful.
So let's digress and reintroduce Lewis, the president of the United Race Corvette Club. Lewis, first of all, give us a little background on yourself. Where you're from and how you got to this position with the club. And then when we come back from the break, we'll delve into what the club is doing.
Well, born and raised in North Braddock. So as I raised my children in Woodland Hills School District, and I've been working with Carnegie Mellon University for almost 20 years now, director of facilities there. And 2 years ago, just one of the members of the club asked me, you know, you should run for president. I was just as surprised as anybody else that I won, you know, because I believe in a political system of any type, no one should just run unopposed, you know, and at that point, you know, I just threw my hat in the ring and here I am as president. So, and it's been a great, great ride. So, you know, this year we celebrated, we're starting 41 years. Last year we were our 40th anniversary. So this club's been in existence since 1977. And think about that. You know, 77, there was a handful of, you know, black males, African-American men that could afford that type of vehicle, you know, and that's just remarkable in itself. And I remember talking during the 40th saying, you know, what the price of gas was at that time and all those kind of things. But, you know, and the Corvette has come a long way now, you know, to the most technologically advanced car on the market. And it's just a beautiful thing. So, you know, we been together 41 years. We do events. We do a lot of community service. We do parades. And plus our car cruises, which, you know, this weekend at the Ramada Inn in Greensburg is our national car cruise, which we have cars from all over the north and southeast, you know, from Indianapolis, Michigan, North Carolina. And it's a show on Saturday. And then we race on Sunday. And
well, let's come back. We're going to talk a little more about that event, because that's an event that people in Western Pennsylvania should want to get out to. But when you took the helm as president, That must have been a little bit of an undertaking. I know there's a lot of members and there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of different directions. So and your colleagues are going to hear this show at some point. So be generous, but talk about taking over.
So when you think about a club, then we had four legacy members that have been with this club for 40 years, and we've had probably another dozen that's been there 20 years. And, you know, the club has been run a certain way, and there's a blueprint, you know, and what it looks for in every president is to add your own flair. You know, the president that I took over for Tia was, I mean, a very smart woman, first female president of the club, did a lot of great things, and she set the bar high, you know, so that's a tough act to follow. And I've been trying to do the exact same thing. Our 40th anniversary was top notch. You know, it was top notch at the country club in Edgewood. And it was, you know, just a beautiful event. And, you know, people came from all over the country to come celebrate with us. And that's when I get to meet some of the legacy members that haven't been a part of the club, but were the original founders. And just sitting there, you know, having that fellowship with those brothers and hearing the stories, it was like a great thing. So, you know, adding your own mark to what's been here for 40 years is pretty exciting.
And it speaks to the Pittsburgh spirit. It speaks to the championship spirit that prevails in Pittsburgh because you guys win. You guys race.
Yeah.
You win. You compete. Style-wise, you win. Mm-hmm. So nothing is lost on this club representing Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania.
So I'm a competitor. And when I first started, I didn't race. And it only took me one weekend. And I'm like, you know what, I'm racing because you could just see the excitement. And, you know, coaching, I've been coaching my son and talking about be the best at what you can be. You know, you have an opportunity to go out there and just show out, you know. And, you know, a lot of people say you race. No, it's straight. All you got to do is go straight for a quarter mile and give it all you got, you know. And so it's just, you know, an exciting thing to do. And I told my son, I said, I'm getting too old to run now, so I can still stay competitive this way, you know. And as you know, Buddy, one of our former presidents, he's a world-class track guy, know, still runs, you know, all over the world. So,
well, when we come back after this break, we're going to talk very specifically about what's coming up, what the United Race Corvette Club has planned for the summer, some great dates, some great events that you can all participate in, talk a little bit more football, and find out if, I don't know, maybe somebody in the room is planning a comeback. We don't know. You got to put it out there. Maybe the Steelers need a fullback. I don't know. We'll put it out there and see, but we'll be right back in a moment.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Talent lost much too soon. The great Prince kind of gone and unnecessarily. So speaking of which, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's going to be another Michael Jackson special on. It's coming on Thursday at 8 o'clock, and apparently this delves into the last week's time before his death, and it's different from, apparently, presumably it's different from the stuff that's been presented thus far.
Oh, they say it's different. Well, just another opportunity to make money. That's what it sounds like to me.
All I'm doing is letting you know it's coming on. Well, you don't want to watch it.
Provide some good information.
Well,
Bill.
Look, they're going to make money whether you watch it or not. So the sponsorship money's in. So advertising dollars are done. But I just thought, I mean, it's just, you know, you think about these great talents that are lost in Michael Jackson and Prince and others. And
Whitney
just
Houston?
Whitney Houston, to be sure. And then, you know, and just so you guys don't think we're nuts, we do delve off on the side from time to time. I mean, Whitney Houston and then her daughter. And I'm always amazed by the lack of conversation about that. The loss, the irony, the lack of guilt determined. You know, that amazes me that kind of talent has come and gone. But be that as it may, speaking of lack of talent, you had something you wanted to offer about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, here we go again, Bill. Roller coaster, yo-yo, whatever you want to call it, up and down, round and round, every week is something different. First place 1 week, fourth place the next week, losing 3-4 to San Diego, one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball.
That hurt.
Bill, you know, I've told you before, even though the record, you know, on Tuesday night, 26-20, is a decent record, but when you take a look at who they're competing with, I don't think it's going to last. I really don't. Again, you know, decent record right now, but, you know, we always sit here and talk about pitching, and they only have one particular pitcher at this time under an ERA of 3.50, and that's Trevor Williams, and he's doing pretty good. He's 5-2. But outside of Trevor Williams, from an ERA standpoint, the rotation is looking really rugged right now. The bullpen has done a little better. However, everything needs to come together a lot more than what it is.
Well, one of our guests here today, Lewis, kind of concurs with me that this Pirate team is a little better off than one would thought. But what's your opinion?
I want to give them a little more time. You know, I think that you're starting to gel with some of the people they added. Pitching, like you said, is what it is, you know, but sometimes defense can get you in the game. So, you know, we want to give them a little time and see what happens. I mean, you know, they're better than what I thought they would be at this point.
And are they doing what the both of you just alluded to? Are they just making money?
For sure.
Are they just in the skin game to make money and tagging us along once again?
Tagging some people along.
You know, just enough to keep us coming to the game. Because let me just tell you this. Going to a Pirate game for me is a matter of weather condition and how close I am to the hot wings.
And if there's fireworks.
I don't care about the fireworks.
I do.
I don't care about the fireworks.
That is a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it is. But when the fireworks start, that's my exit time. I can beat the crowd. I need to have close relationship to the hot wings. But you know, my point is that for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's just a night out. It's just a beautiful park, a great night. You guys need to know, Kevin ain't going. Kevin's not going to a game. He don't care what they're offering. Exactly. I'll go, enjoy the night out, enjoy the wings. I mean, it's Pittsburgh.
And that's a good point, because when you compare football to baseball, it's totally different. As you indicated, you know, you'll go to the game just because it's nice weather. Sure. You're out at the ballpark. You could take your family, and it's not going to cost you as much to go to a Pirates game versus a Steelers game. You know, half the season for the Steelers anyway, you're wrapping up, you know, trying to stay warm. So you're actually going for the game.
Yeah.
When you go to a baseball game, you're going for many different reasons. So you can still have a good time even if your team, you know, doesn't win.
Well, it is a long season to be sure, and they're holding their – kind of holding their own to this point, and they were beating the teams they should beat, and they were kind of losing to teams that you would expect them to lose to, and pitching has been kind of up and down, and for a moment we thought we had a closer, but we don't, and for a moment we had a rebirth of the lumber company. So what I guess I offered you is about 15 or 20 kindas and maybes and woulda, coulda. So we'll have to see, as Lewis said, what comes down further. I'm holding on to 82 games. I'm holding on to we can win 82 games. Now, I have nothing to base that on whatsoever, but I just think this team is better than we thought it was going to be, and I think it can maintain.
So you're the only person that I've heard that is saying this, the Pirates would have a winning record.
No, Joe Starkey thinks so.
Joe Starkey
thinks okay. So, and there's been others.
But you're still in the minority.
Well, I'm certainly in the minority, admittedly.
Which that's, you know, that shouldn't surprise anyone.
Well, it is what it is. But now, before we get back to the car stuff, something just pops in my head. I don't know which one of you to ask. How did you come by your name? I guess we should ask Dad, huh?
Go for it.
Announce it.
It is Lusaka.
Lusaka, not Usaka, which a lot of people say.
Yeah.
And can I ask how many times you've been asked that question as well?
If I got a dollar for every time I was asked that question, I could probably retire right now. Man. Especially during his playing days at Woodland Hills, you know, Pitt and at, or University of Pittsburgh, I should say. And
you say Pitt, we Pitt now.
Okay.
You
know, hey. Yeah, they changed that. And then with all the pro teams, you know, especially in Dallas and Miami. Yeah, but it's a capital of Zambia. Is that right? Okay. I think that is right. Yeah. And that's how his aunt gave him that name.
On who?
Excuse me? His Aunt Deborah.
Aunt Deborah. Your aunt.
Shout out to Aunt Deborah.
Aunt Deborah, yeah. Okay.
So, and then, so at some point in his young life, you had to be thinking, King of Kings, a champion name. I mean, that name speaks championship, football, tough.
As a father, the greatest compliment you can get for your child, okay, is when his head football coach of Woodland Hills introduced him at a banquet, said, "This is one of the few men I would let marry my daughter." And I was like, wow. It speaks of character. Now, you know, and as we know, you know, in these times, man, character means everything. Sure. And so I worked very hard to keep him on the straight and narrow, bad people away from him, that kind of stuff. Because it was easy for a young man to go left instead of right. And so, but he also saw my work ethic. You know, I put in work all the time, you know, and I think by him being a young man, seeing that, you know, helped develop him some. And I can say the same thing about my daughters. Both of them are the same way. They all put in work, you know.
Well, I think something we talk about often on this show, I know in both Kevin and I's place, and I'm not quite sure about Trevin, but it might be true, but, you know, having a strong father, having a strong family, makes a lot. It's not absolutely always essential, but 8 times out of 10, it's the determining factor, man. It means a lot. I can remember virtually everything my father told me or taught me, and it matters a lot. So to that point, as you reflect back on the time you were at Woodland Hills and what's been going on there the last year or so, maybe 2 years, a little bit of trouble. Not to the level of assaults like some of the country suffers from, but Woodland Hills kind of drifted off the quality path. And the coach's name is escaping my brain, although I know him well. The past coach.
It was Novak.
Coach Novak. I know, you know, ran a great program, and I ran some programs with him over the years. Great guy. So, what do you think happened, and what caused that skid?
I'm not sure, man. I can't really speak on it. I just know that it's not just Woodland Hills. I think it's just culturally, there's been a lot of change in our youth, and unfortunately, our school, you know, was in a limelight at that time, and when that unfortunate incident happened. But I just think when things like that happen, I mean, it's all over. It's on the news everywhere you see. There's a lot of issues, and you know, we have a president that might not be helping the situation.
Mm-hmm.
If I could be, you know, politically correct, but I just think
you don't have to be on this.
Hey, I gotta watch everything. I gotta watch everything I say, man. You know, but
but being honest,
you're right. No, but just being honest, man. I think a lot of work needs to be done. It's not just. In Woodland Hills District, it's everywhere, man. And I think we're making a step in the right direction. You know, we got a new AD, got some things going, make some changes. And, you know, sometimes change is good. A fresh start, a clean slate is sometimes what you need. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
You know, you figure George was there 20-something years in transition. You know, now it's unfortunate what happened, but at the same time, you know, it's going to come back.
That's George who?
George Novak.
Novak.
Yeah, he ran a program for a long time, and a lot of coaches, and he was connected with the, you know, the midget programs, you know, the peewee football programs. And, you know, we, you know, sort of got kids ready to go up into the high school program. And, you know, and I've seen some great coaches at that level. And I think one of the best right now is one of the Braddock High School alums from back in those Braddock High School days, his nephew. Keith Davis, probably one of the best offensive minds in the area, you know, but never got an opportunity, you know. And I think he could coach circles around a lot of people. You know, okay. with his off, I mean, it's just his offensive mind, the stuff he did with 14-year-olds was unreal. Mm-hmm. You know, too, we had quarterbacks calling the game at the line. I mean, 14. Mm-hmm. You know, you go up, you see something, I don't care what I called. If you like it, go for it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the teams that we put together back then, offensively and defensively, we beat up on everybody.
Let me ask you, did you play high school, college ball? And
I didn't play college ball, no. I did play some high school. I finished my final year of high school at General Braddock. So long story short, I went to, I don't know if you heard this program, A Better Chance. And so it was a high school program that took kids out of the inner city to affluent high schools. And I went to Longmeadow, Massachusetts for 2 years of high school. I played football there. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, who was my rock, you know, at that point, she was on writing. Now, remember, back then, we didn't have internet and FaceTime. You know, and long-distance phone calls cost money. Right, and right, right. So it was all letters, you right. know. And when the letters stopped, I come home, and she was suffering from cancer.
Wow.
And so that's when I just said, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to take care of her, mm-hmm. you know, till she passed, mm-hmm. you know. And then I finished my school year here. And it was funny because my last year, I only had a half a day of school because I was so far ahead of everybody else. I only had to take the requirements, was music, gym. You know, I had all the sciences and everything else I'd already finished with. So,
and I guess you put a lot of time in coaching.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, Keith, and I mentioned him earlier, you know, Keith sort of said, come on, man. I was sitting there watching them at 7 and 8, you know, and he said, come on, man, you can do this. And I knew football. Everybody in Pittsburgh knows football. Mm-hmm. And him and I worked together for almost 10 years, you know, and put together a couple undefeated runs. And, I mean, and some of the talent that – kids that went to the NFL, you know, we could see them like the Stevie Bristons, the Sean Spencers. We could see these guys developing as little kids, you know, and even with Lusaka, you know, he put the work in. I mean, this was a kid that, you know, you had a weight limit back then, you know, it was 145. So his final year, he was 150 pounds, you know, so he kept the weight down for a year just to make sure he could finish with his guys. And then when those guys went up to, you know, their sophomore years, you know, his sophomore year, all of a sudden he ballooned up to almost 200 pounds, mm-hmm. you know, right away. So, but he put in the work. I wouldn't let him lift weight till he was 16. At his 16th birthday, at 5 o'clock in the morning, he was gone.
Yeah,
he was in a weight room. Yeah. Well, you know, so those are things
that's the stuff that matters.
You watch. That's that work time. You put in. Yeah.
So look, Louis, for the next 5 minutes, I need you to tell the world what you want them to know about the United Rays Corvette Club. What's coming up? When and where? How they participate and how they get in touch with you?
So this weekend here, we're having our points meet, which is a national event with our national organization. And it's at the Ramada Greensburg.
Now, what's points mean?
So with the points meet, you get points for car show and for drag racing and a thing called Kana. And Kana is where it's like an obstacle course. You're weaving in and out of cones to your time. So you got to get the best time. And so Saturday at 9 a.m. Starts the car show. And there'll probably be close to 150 cars there. And they're from all over the country. They're from locally here in Pittsburgh. And they come out to compete. You know, everyone's showing. You know, you have a Corvette. Yeah. You've seen how everybody's car is cleaner than the Board of Health when you bring it out there. It is shiny to the shine, everything.
Listen to me. If you've never witnessed, this is a spectacle. If you've never witnessed 200-300 Corvettes in the same place at the same time, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Colors that you wouldn't imagine existed on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Go ahead.
But it's a culture. And so we're at the Ramada in Greensburg. Saturday starting at 9 a.m. The car show judging starts at noon. And then we have, like, food, music. You know, it's just a day of hanging out and everyone looking at all the different cars. And some of these cars, like we mentioned earlier, it's artwork. When you look at it, a $20,000 paint job is unreal. And this was high definition. We have one of our members that – we have four of our members that won at the World on Wheels down at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. We put our cars in, and they won first, second, and fourth place. you know. So
that's huge.
And this is guys from not only all over the country, it's all over the world coming to this thing. And, you know, so
and
that,
is it safe to say, because we do let it all hang out here, that was at one time pretty much a white culture,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So for black guys to step in and win on that level.
Well, it's still, you know, there's more of us coming now, you know. And but when you see, like, most of the groups that are part of our nationals, I think it's like 17 different organizations, you know, they're all primarily African-American men, you know. And we have African-American women because one of the baddest racers in Pittsburgh is a woman. You know, she puts it down.
That's Tia.
That's Tia.
Tia, yes.
You know, I mean, and so, you know, we do the show on Saturday and then Sunday.
Is she the fastest driver in your club? Let's put it out there.
Yeesh. Well, put it this way.
Be careful. Be careful, Dad.
We have, so our club.
The question is, is Tia the fastest one? I got to clarify this, okay?
Because you're going to box me in a corner, and I got to go see them tomorrow. You know, so right now we've had a king of the hill and a queen of the hill the past 4 years. You know, last year was the first time we didn't bring one home. And it wasn't for lack of effort. You know, we were in Kentucky. But Tia and Joe Davis, those two, those are definitely, I couldn't say one and two. I'd put them equal. Because both of them cut a light like nothing. But
so I assume then they've never raced each other.
Yeah, they've raced each other. You give one or two each way, you know.
Well, who won the most races, Lewis?
I can't say that.
Oh, you don't want to say
it. I don't have a history.
Are they both racing this weekend?
Yes, they are racing
this
weekend.
So who do you like?
I like any United Rays driver going down that track. We have a bunch of racers, man. We have cars that do the quarter mile in 9 seconds.
I see why you won.
Yeah.
You know, the presidency.
Well, and you should point out, too, that Tia is a veteran.
Yes.
So she's got a military background, right. So she's tough.
Yeah.
Well, most of us there don't have military backgrounds. We have doctors. We have lawyers. You know, we're all professional people, mm-hmm. you know, and we love showing our colors. You know, when we go out to an event all over the country, you know, they know who we are when we come in. And this weekend, they know when they come to Keystone Raceway, you know, that – you're not just walking in there, walking away with something. You have to fight to get out of there, you know. And all of us drive, all of us go hard, you know. And we go, we're in it to win it all the time.
So
and
they're going to Keystone Raceway. Yes. Where's it at? How did they get there? What time should they
be there? So the racetrack is actually called Pittsburgh. I'm pulling up the address for you now. It's Pittsburgh Raceway Park. It's 538 Stone Jug Road in New Alexandria, PA 15670.
And for information, they can call you, email you.
Yes, you can go to our website, unitedrays.com, and we have events. And so you can click on any events. If you email president@unitedrays.com, I'll get it, and I will forward it or answer it myself. You know, we even do our own cruises. So we have our next cruise on Father's Day, which is similar to what we just had this past Sunday. And Father's Day is always a great event. Because we dads, we like to be out there with our car.
And now you're in a new location, so yes. Talk about your new sponsor.
So
there.
We're at the U Pull and Pay at 250 East Gate Road in East Hills. And so Giant Eagle changed ownership, you know, and we're still trying to work with them. I'm not saying we're not going to work, but time was running out, and with the change in ownership, I had to get a space for us to work. We approached the U Pull and Pay. They got behind it right away because they're a car place. And as you saw this weekend, that was – we probably had 70 cars there, 80 cars there for this show.
Yeah, great spot.
Great spot. It was set up. That was our first one, so we have some kinks to work out. But by the next show on Father's Day, it would be, you know, tighter than Kobe on game night. So
I actually think it's a better spot than Giant Eagle. I mean, in total, I don't know that you could have gotten all those cars in the Giant Eagle space.
It would have been tough in Giant Eagle.
And you had space. You had all those cars and plenty. You could have put another 50 cars in if you wanted to.
We could have. And we had everything split up from old school to Corvettes to Mustangs. I mean, it's a great event. And we have it once a month, all during the summer. And like I said, you can get on our website. You'll see all the dates. Our next one is June 17th at the U Pull and Pay, 250 Eastgate Drive. But again, this weekend is that's when we need all our supporters and folks to come out and get behind us when we're doing our car shows and for our racing on Sunday.
And do people have to pay to play? Do they have to pay to be in the show?
No. You show up at the show. Now, if you're bringing a car, you pay. But if you're just coming to look, you can come and look. You can buy food. There's that type of stuff. And same thing at the track. You know, you don't pay to go into the track, you know, so, but you would pay for food and that kind of thing.
And here's a question, I guess, for those out there listening. Do you have to be an experienced racer? Like, in other words, can Joe Blow just drive up in his car and for the first time race?
Well, so, first of all, your car has to be ready. And they have a tech, which you do before every race. Your car gets inspected to make sure it can run. And, you know, last year in Kentucky was my first time racing, you know. So I watched it at Keystone last year, and I said, you know what, I got to go and support our team. So, and I did it, you know. And but now I have a little bit of a racing background because my uncle was one of the best engine builders in Pittsburgh many years ago. And that's where I met Little Joe Davis. And so I used to take their cars as a kid and drive them. But, you know, I did my first time down, no problem. Finished second that day, and then I got the fever. You know, but you have to have your safety equipment, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff, belted in, windows up. And in Kentucky, 120 degrees when we were racing that day. Ooh, that was rough.
So it's not quite like the Fast and the Furious where you just pull in and say,
oh, no.
Let's run.
No.
It doesn't work that way, huh?
Yeah, that only works on the highway. You know, you get these guys pull up next to you, they want to rev their engines. And you look at them like, really?
So the car dates are June 17th for Father's Day.
Yep.
July 22nd, which happens to be Flag Day. August 19th, which is Back to School Community Day. And then September 16th is Black and Yellow Spirit Day.
Yeah, and what I want to say Back to School, that's when, you know, we're community-oriented group. So we give book bags. Last year we gave out over 300 book bags to kids. You know, and that's just what we like to do. And then we also pair up with the Omega Psi Phi's at Christmas and give toys to over, you know, I don't know how many families come to their house. I mean, it's crazy the amount of people that come out, you know. But
and you do
know,
parades.
Yeah, we do parades. We're in the Juneteenth parade coming up this next month. We're in Clareton on Memorial Day for a parade there if the weather holds up. And we support those communities, you know, because it's about community. It's about family. And also, you have to show a positive image of black males. You know, right now, you know, we need that in our communities at this point. And so, and black women. You know, I'm sorry. You got to be both sides of the fence, you know, at this point. And I like when, you know, the ladies in our club go out and present themselves and they race and they come back. And same thing with, you know, the men. You know, we're just out there creating a positive image.
Well, I tell you what, and I'm going to throw it to Kevin because he wants to wrap things up before we cut out. There's nothing more impressive, nothing more powerful than seeing 20 or 30 Corvettes coming at you. I mean, it's just impressive, it's powerful, and it makes a statement that the community and young people can be impressed by. But before I throw it to Kevin, I did want to ask Lusaka this question that I oftentimes, you know, we had JT Thomas here a few weeks back, and I asked him this question. And I asked Robin Cole the same question. But I always ask accomplished professional athletes, did you ever have a wow moment? Like you met or played against or saw that guy and went, wow. Like, I'd pay to see that guy.
I think my wow moment, I was actually still at Pitt, and I was training for the combine. And I got on the phone with AD George because our strength coach at the time was Dave Kennedy from Ohio State. So he trained with Eddie. And he put me on the phone with Eddie, and he was like, you know, one day, man, you might be able to block for me. You get to play together. And I had no idea that we would both end up being in Dallas together the next year. So my rookie year, my first game starting, I got to block for Eddie George. And he's one of my favorite running backs, you know, of all time.
Amazing.
So, That's probably the wild moment.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Kev, you want to go ahead and try to impress upon me that the Celtics can't get this done?
I think I said enough on that note, Bill. You know, LeBron all the way.
Okay.
And, again, I do not even like Cleveland, but I just believe he's the man, and he'll find a way to get it done. Until the championship anyway. But I would like to remind our listeners to connect with us on Twitter at Soul Tape Champions Live at STCL Sports. Again, Soul Tape Champions Live at STCL Sports. Also, we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. So please tune in on a weekly basis. And also, there's another sports show that we need to make people aware of, Bill, and that is Urban Media Today Talk Sports. And Trav is part of that team, and they actually come on every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Is that correct, Trav? I want to make sure I have those times.
So they listen to us tell them what's up, and then they repeat it on Saturday. Is that what you're saying? Oh, I thought Trev was asleep. Trev ain't asleep. Well, look, that's all the stuff you need to know. Now, Lewis, one more time for our listeners, phone number, website, email address, whatever they need to have to know about the events, if they want to join the club, if they just want to get acquainted, yada, yada, yada.
So if you go to unitedrays.com, you can find everything you need. There's membership. There's contact us information. So everything you need, you can go there. You can see the events, the addresses for everything we're doing. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a brotherhood. It's a fellowship. And, you know, and all of us are Christians, too. So we're out there doing our thing, you know, and giving thanks because we're blessed to be able to do this.
Sounds good. Well, I know that we've got just about a minute to go, so I do have one more question to throw at Lusaka. So obviously the rules have changed, and certainly since you've retired from the game. So what's your opinion now of the rule changes and how we were all taught to hit as kids has now changed, and everything's different. So does it bother you? Does it change your attitude towards the game? Do you think it should be or not be?
It doesn't bother me. It didn't really affect me as a fullback. I mean, I think it changes defensive players mostly, you know, being a DB or being a guy trying to make a play and break on the ball and play fast. That's kind of a competitive advantage, I'd have to say. It's hard. But on the flip side, is it worth it down the road when you're 65? I think so. So any way they can find a way to take, you know, safe, make the game safer, and protect us, man, I'm all for it. I think you'll never be able to completely protect guys. It's a physical game, and it's that part of it can't change or won't be football anymore. But the little things they can do, I mean, you know, just making sure that anything, I mean, you can't change it completely. You can't.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've always agree with that whatever we can do to make it better, make it safer. And I jokingly talk about four concussions that I had and the ones that I had that I can't remember. So, it's a dangerous game. It's a violent game. I remember being hit so hard that I actually thought I was dying. You know, it's a brutal game.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling.
But the way that things have changed, I think, makes it better because I've been around a couple guys who are suffering. And, I mean, you know, it takes me 10 minutes to get out of bed, you know, just with knees and ankles. And I won't name the names, but I've been around several Steelers that, you know, when you saw them play, it was one thing. Now, when you're sitting next to them in a casual moment and you can see the difficulties they're having, it's a different thing. It makes you stop and think, you know, maybe the change was needed and came along at the right time, because at the pace this game is at now, you know, we talked about it. I know we're at break point. I hope Shazier can play again.
I just
can't imagine that he will. I hope he can. I hope he fully recovers. I hope he gets everything back that allows him to take a hit without a second thought.
I mean, hopefully he is fortunate enough to get back and play the game he loves, and I'll be praying for him and wishing him nothing but the best.
Now, here's the thing you got to know about my Corvette. I got the only Corvette that is the color that it is. There's no other Corvette in Western Pennsylvania the color of my Corvette. That's all I got. But if you want to see great colors, great speed, great cars, expensive cars, then you want to be on board with the United Race Corvette Club. I want to thank our guest, Lewis, the president of the club, surprise guest, Lusaka Polite, for coming in and sitting with us. So you're welcome back anytime. Remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul Tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more, with 24/7 exposure and online exclusives. Email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.